The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Las Vegas, for Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at the producer Nick, at Degenerates975. You can text the show if you like, 713-780-3776. And it's a Friday. If you missed the first hour, very sportsy. A lot of Texans talk for a good win. And a lot of guys have asked me, on the text line, how much the hair procedure costs. I can't answer that. I'm not ducking it, but it just depends on how much you need done.
Give him a call.
Go get your free consultation, and he'll tell you. In my case, I had to have a lot done. So
you were super bald.
Yeah, I was. It was bad, and it's getting there, man. It really does. It really is getting there. All right, so 5 o'clock on Friday. This is where we go through all the NFL lines as we prepare for Sunday's games. And we will start with Browns minus 10.5 against Dolphins.
Give me the Dolphins. I don't want it, but I just don't think the Browns are a team you should be giving double digits with. They're now without their best defensive player. They're without a couple guys. I mean, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't see how... I don't see how the Browns can lose their best defensive guy and be like, you know what, this is a good thing. Like, there's no positive from it. I'm not looking to bet the Dolphins, but I can't take the Browns at that number.
Yeah, I got no play on this, but I would take the Dolphins and the points, because the only thing that scares me about that, and we've talked about it all year, the Browns are a high variance team because they're front runners.
Yeah,
and if they get a lead, they can run away and hide. And so that scares me a little bit, but I just don't think they're good enough. And, you know, the Dolphins haven't been garbage. I mean, they were garbage last week, which is what I was hoping for. Speaking of last week, Bills minus 3.5 at home against the Broncos. I love the Bills in this spot. And I think, especially after what happened to the Broncos last week, where if they hadn't quit before then, which clearly they hadn't, I think that took the soul out of them. And plus, going to Buffalo is a tough place to play. It's a noon game. You know, the Bills are not a great team, but they're good enough to cover 3.5 against the Broncos. I like the Bills quite a bit here.
This is taking serious pro money the other way.
I know.
I mean, it's the lines moved a point in the last 24 hours.
2 points. It was 5.5 at one point, now 3.5.
Yeah, I'm saying in the last day moved up a full point, which is tough to do this late in the week.
And, hey, I have a lot of respect for those pros, but I feel like the Bills are the right side.
I like the Bills too, but that's what's keeping me from actually throwing money down on it. There's something that I don't know that they do,
and you have to take that into account. Steelers minus 6.5 at Bengal.
I like the Bengals. I took Bengals plus 7 with some. I had to give a little extra juice.
Yeah,
but
it's probably worth it.
The Steelers, no Pouncey, no Juju. I mean. They're a beat up.
Is Connor going to play? Yeah.
Nope. They're a beat up team. I think this is a good spot for the Bengals. They're getting a little bit healthier on the offensive line.
Who's going to score points for the Steelers?
It's a good question. I don't know. Vance McDonald, old McDonald, EIEIO.
That totals come down to 38.5 too, which is fairly low. But
it's a low number.
Yeah. Bears minus 6 at home against the Giants. Giants aren't going to have Evan Ingram. I was liking Giants most of the week. I think I'm with you now. I think I just like the under.
I like the Giants, too. I like the under the best, but I like the Giants, too. It's just a Trubisky fade. I can't assume that Trubisky's going to get margin on anyone because he sucks. You know, I like the under so much that I'm going to take a 6-point dog, certainly.
Yeah, yeah. Raiders -3 at the New York Football Jets, which I got to hear a lot about before our show because Jake Asman's sitting next to us.
Probably feels like a sucker play to me, but I like the Raiders still. I do like that the Jets have a good run defense, and obviously they're going to try to take away the run game of the Raiders, which has been really strong. But I still think Derek Carr can beat them. And
although I like the way Sam Darnold's played since they lost that game to the Dolphins, and I think this number is perfect. That's why I'm staying away from it. I'm kind of with you. I'd lean Raider there, but I think they've got the number just right. Saints, you want to talk about a big jump? Saints now 10-point favorites over the Panthers, who are a double-digit division dog.
Yeah, I can't take the Panthers. I don't want anything to do with the Panthers right now. I don't know that I want to give 10, so it's probably just a pass for me. But I think the Panthers are a sell team. I mean, every week. I don't think that they are being – people are still thinking of the Panthers like when Kyle Allen was playing well, and they're just not that team anymore.
And teams have figured him out, and that's –
it's basically, to beat the Panthers, it's you slow down Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
If you can do that at all, you win.
The Falcons -3.5 at home against the Bucs. Maybe I'm a sucker. I am back in all the way on the Falcons here. I love the Falcons in this spot. Don't like the hook, but I don't care. I'll give it up because I think Jameis Winston will turn the ball over enough to where the Falcons are. They've been a different team since the bye, and they've been a different team since taking away the play-calling duties on defense. I don't see that changing. I like this team. I think they're going to keep rolling.
No play on the side for me. I do like the over. I think that number's come down, actually, a few points.
Yeah,
because
3 points.
People are seeing, oh, the Falcons, look at this newfound defense. The Falcons have been successful the last couple games because they've stopped the run.
Yeah.
You know who doesn't try to run the ball? Tampa.
Yeah.
They chuck it. Yeah. The Falcons chuck it. These are two bad secondaries. I think that they get up and down the field.
Lions -3.5 at Redskins.
God, this is so brutal. I mean,
another Driscoll start.
Look at that. It opened at 1.5. They announced Stafford's out again. It still moves 2 points to the Lions. I mean, if it were 3 now, I'd probably have to take the Lions now. I don't want it at 3.5. I won't bet the Redskins. They're a disaster.
Yeah.
It's a pass for me.
Jaguar +3.5 at Titans. That half takes me off the Titans. I think if it was 3.
Yeah, I like the Titans earlier in the week at 3. I kind of like the over in this game.
Okay.
I'm on some more totals than I am sides this week.
All right. Cowboys +6 at Patriot.
I've been on the under of this one, too. Although the Cowboys have been an over team, I just think
the Patriots have been an under team.
The Patriots, they being the better team, I think that they control that. Gun to head on a side. I told you earlier in the week I wanted 7 with the Cowboys. I'm not going to get that, obviously. Gun to head, I'd take the Cowboys, but I don't like it. I feel like the Patriots win by 3 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think they win by 3 or 6. And guess what the number is? So 49ers -3 at home against the Packers.
Still showing 3, huh?
Yeah. That one hasn't moved.
I took the Packers 3. It did bounce up to 3.5 for a little while.
Yeah.
So I like the Pack here. I think that the 49ers, they get Juszczyk back, which is big, but I just think that I think the Packers are a team on the rise. 49ers have shown some flaws the last couple of weeks.
And Eagles -1 at home against the Seahawks.
This is a tough one. I don't want to bet against Russell Wilson. I've been saying I feel like they're overrated. And I feel like they've been proving me wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they are better than I thought they were. They're still bad defensively, but Russell Wilson is just a guy you can't bet against right now.
Yeah, I don't know if Clowney's playing this week either, too. And I don't know if Dwayne Brown's playing, speaking of former Texans. Yeah. So
Clowney doesn't matter, though.
Yeah, he's
overrated.
He's no Mingo.
No.
And then the Monday night game, which we talked about a little bit earlier in the week, Ravens went from pick 'em to -3. Against the Rams, it's stayed pretty steady at -3.
I'd still be on Ravens -3. Anything other than outside of that, I probably don't want to mess with it. But
yeah, I don't want to get in the way of the Ravens train right now because, I mean, they're just destroying everybody. But this is a spot that feels like the Rams should be able to be competitive. I'm not getting in the way of the Ravens train. So, All right, there you go. How about that? Went through all of them.
There you go.
Even Monday night. So if you die while you're out here in Vegas, people will know your Monday night picks. 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. Joey Watt says, every time you say Jaguar, I think Rick and Morty. That's from the Pickle Rick episode, which I've always told anybody, if you're going to watch one episode, watch that one. It's the best one. But I've enjoyed the first two so far this year. So we'll see how it goes. Somebody says, do you guys take into consideration Watson's pattern of inconsistency when betting? Seems like for every great game, there's a bad game. I don't think it's 50-50 like that.
No, but there have been a few this year.
There have been a few.
That's why I was like, man, the whole MVP conversation thing is weird to me because he did have a few early stinkers.
Well, and then he had a real stinker against the Ravens last
year. But he had that big game that everybody was like, oh, my God. I mean, so.
But he's had a lot more games like last night where he wasn't a dominant – it wasn't a dominant performance.
He was good, though.
But he was good, and he was good enough. And I kind of think that's what he is more often than not. And when you're that guy, you're going to have some games where you go nuts, and then you're going to have some games where we're all looking at you going, God, where'd that sticker come from?
He's shown the potential to have those great games.
Right.
I just don't think he's the kind of guy who's going to do that week in and week out yet.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ain't no mercy. You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Las Vegas, for Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, live from the MGM in Las Vegas. Wilder Ortiz 2. Your thoughts on the... on the rematch, I think this is going to be a closer fight than what the odds say.
I tend to think that too. It's hard to bet against Wilder, but Ortiz is older now. But he's tough, man.
Yeah.
And it's if Ortiz was more of a technical boxer too at this point, I'd be like, oh, maybe. But you're brawling.
Yeah.
If you're talking about a brawl and Deontay Wilder's involved, I'm probably taking Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, I'm with you. But the good news is you get in a – well, if you're thinking about Ortiz, you get in a brawl, he can land a punch.
He can. He did.
Yeah, and he had him staggering in the seventh last time. And I think we've talked about it. He was one point behind on all the cards when he got knocked out. I think you're going to have to do that again. You're going to have to stagger him and then finish him if you're going to win, if you're Ortiz. But we shall see. Sebastian, what do you think of, I don't know, Golic and Wingo saying that a postseason ban for the Astros? I don't know that they actually said that. If they did, then that's just dumb.
That is dumb.
Because here's a great idea. Let's take a sport that's struggling with attendance issues. Take one of your teams and essentially tell that it does pretty well at the gate that your team's season is meaningless. And so people don't go to the games. And Major League Baseball is basically cutting its own penis off.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
This ain't college, man. I don't know why people think you can put these college
rules on.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I mean, this is a professional sport. They got to make money. And, yeah, if they said that, I mean, I'm not calling the texter a liar. It's just that seems pretty dumb to me. But maybe they did.
Yeah. Whatever you think, that's not going to happen. Whoever said that, they're wrong.
Yeah. It's you know, I don't want to get into the East Coast media takes on this stuff, but I wouldn't pay any attention to any East Coast media takes on any of this. All right, 713-780-ESPN's the number, 713-780-3776. By the way, just a quick aside, I was all over Oklahoma State earlier in the week. Spencer Sanders is out. Fortunately, I didn't get the bet down.
Oof.
But that changes everything for me because – that guy was starting to play pretty well for them, and he went out in the third quarter, but I didn't realize he wasn't going to play until today. It's the first I saw that he wasn't going to play. So if you are thinking about betting Oklahoma State, you might want to hold off on that.
Yeah.
And you got Ohio State, Penn State tomorrow, which should be fun. You have any last-minute thoughts on that one?
I think it's a I don't know where all the points come from in that game. You know, I know Ohio State's a great offense, but, man, Penn State's pretty solid on defense, and I don't know if Penn State's going to score much against Ohio State.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like the Rutgers game. I mean, Ohio State let a few points in against Rutgers, but now you're talking about a game that Ohio State's probably going to be up for. I would lean Ohio State, lean the under.
Yeah, that 18 number scares me a little bit because what I would like to see Ohio State get punched in the mouth a little bit just to see how they react. Because you don't want a playoff game to be the first time you're actually challenged.
Exactly.
And whether it's this week or it's against Michigan, I'd just like to see how they handle it when somebody gets them down 21-10 or something.
Right.
Which it's hard for that to happen. They're so damn good. A friend in low places, where the Colts with luck this season, they seem par with the Texans with lesser quarterback play. I think they would be the better team, but I also think that the difference between Luck and Brissett has been less than I thought it would be. It's still significant. I think there's one or two games in there they win with Andrew Luck.
Agreed.
That doesn't come down to Vinatieri missing field goals.
Yeah.
But then again, that's him being healthy all season. And if it was bad enough for him to retire,
probably would have been healthy all season.
Yeah, yeah. So at this point, who knows if he would have even played if he had come back. So is that, I've heard Hinch and Strom could be fired. Any possibility of that? Or is that ridiculous notion?
It's a ridiculous notion. They're not firing guys.
No, they're going to.
Why would the pitching coach be fired?
For one thing,
suspended.
And I think they will be suspended, and they should. Well, A.J. Hinch should be, and probably Jeff Luhnow.
But for what, 5 games?
I don't know. It depends on what they.
And what does suspending a GM do?
It just means he doesn't get paid. I mean, that's the whole point of the suspensions. And the only difference with Hinch is he wouldn't be on the bench. But, I mean, he's a manager. Who cares? It's not like they have that much of an impact. But, yeah, I could see him getting a 20-game suspension or something. So, but, yeah, I think in the end, all this stuff that people are speculating on, it's just speculation. I think you're going to have fines. You're going to lose some draft picks. And these guys are probably getting suspended. Anything beyond that. I think you're looking for clicks and attention.
Okay.
That you're throwing out there. That's my opinion.
That's kind of what I think too.
And you know, it's kind of what I wrote earlier this week. Is that, you know, hey, just tell us what the punishment is, and move on.
Yeah.
And people are going to continue to speculate until there actually is a punishment, because that's what we do. And we're just going to keep throwing ridiculous stuff out there, like, oh, these guys should be fired.
Right.
Oh, these guys should not be allowed to play in the playoffs. Man, that is just...
That's dumb.
Yeah, whoever came up with that concept is a dumb. It's that simple. All right, 713-780-3776 if you wish to text the show. You can also get us on Twitter. You can send a message on Facebook, and you know that way Aaron gets involved in the show. But no Twitch, obviously, today because we are in Las Vegas. And, man, we're almost halfway through the show, AJ.
Yeah.
So another hour and a half. And I only have to be sober for another hour and a half.
That's it.
That's the plan.
And then you take the rest of the weekend off.
Well, I'm going to the fight, but
do your thing.
I'm not going
to
be.
You don't have to be sober at that fight.
No, of course not. So, all right. Yeah, that's fine. So, looks like we'll have a guest here coming up very soon, hopefully. All right, 713-780-3776. Somebody asking any poker on this trip, Fred, I would refer you back to the 4 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
We told all our poker stories. And spent a lot of time discussing it.
Yep.
So there'll be some more. I'm looking at the 10 o'clock tonight, and then I'll play at least one tomorrow. Just depends on how things are going. I've got such a good feeling coming out of that one last night. Part of me wants to just sit out. But, you know, I'm still down. And I need to be.
Got to get back.
I want to finish up.
That's
I want
right.
to finish up for the trip.
But yeah, I don't think I'm finishing up for the trip.
I'm almost at break even, but not quite. Well, I told you how much that term was in 2 buy-ins. Like, ouch.
Yeah.
I would say
I don't think I'm going to get back.
I at one point I was down like a 2012 Subaru. That's where I was.
I'm trying to get back to where I'm not like, you know, out of commission for a week or two. I'm just trying to have like a good, you know, it's okay you lose at Vegas. You just don't want to lose too much in Vegas.
Yeah, you don't want to have to go sell your 2012 Subaru
right
because of Vegas. But yeah, it was a dark time at one point yesterday. I was so depressed that I was like, man, I'm just going to go in the room and be a bum and not go anywhere and never bet again. I hate gambling.
Well, I'm glad you got some back.
And then it all changed just like that, just like magic. That's the beauty of Vegas. The good things happen, bad things happen. In the end, it's fun. That's what poker is such a. I love it so much, but it can be so cruel.
It's a roller coaster ride.
It is, and it can be cruel. But then when it all works, there's nothing I enjoy in life more than being on that kind of run.
I'm with you.
At a poker table like I was last night. I mean, there's very few things out there that give me that much joy. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Las Vegas, for Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and we promised you we'd get you some great guests, and we have one now. Richard Schaefer joins us, and let's start with this fight. First time, I think it was a lot closer than it wound up being from the result. Do you think we're going to see the same thing here, or do you think Wilder's going to run away with this one?
Well, you know, styles make fights, and you look at that first fight. Was clearly the most dangerous, the most difficult fight in Deontay Wilder's career. Was the first time he was really hurt, and frankly, in that seventh round, other state athletic commissions might have stopped the fight. That's how much trouble he was in. And that was a Luis Ortiz who was probably 40 pounds heavier. You know, you look at Luis Ortiz here in the media room at those posters, and you look at him today, he came in at 239 pounds, probably 30, 40 pounds less than the first one. And that's called fixing your shortcomings. His shortcoming, Ortiz's shortcoming in the first fight, was he gassed out. He got tired, and he couldn't carry it through. After having Wilder almost out in the seventh, he was spent. And so that's what he did. He trained. He's in shape. I just talked to him before he went on the scale backstage. Mentally, physically, I've never seen Luis Ortiz like that. And so it's going to be an interesting night. And I saw Deontay as well backstage. He knows that he's going to fight the best ever Luis Ortiz. And he's ready for it.
And, you know, at 38, you got to get weight off at that point if you're going to try to get all the way in a fight against a guy like Deontay Wilder.
You have to. I mean, you can't beat somebody. I mean, look, Deontay's so good. But what we've seen as well in that seventh round in the first fight, he does get hit. And when he does get hit, it hurts. And he's in trouble. And when you get hit in the heavyweight division by another big puncher, guess what? It could be lights out. So it might come down is who hits first. Who hits first? Who connects first? And how is the other guy going to take it? I think, you know, as I said, styles make fights. First fight was a fight of the year. I expect the same here. I expect a close fight. I expect an exciting fight. And, you know, one punch will end it all.
Yeah, you mentioned that some people would have stopped that fight. Do you think getting the weight off, will that help him? If he lands a shot like that again, will he be able to finish this time?
I think he might, because that's exactly what it was. He was totally spent. He couldn't throw punches anymore, and he got caught and he got knocked out. So I think he's in a much better shape. He learned. He is he's from the Cuban school of boxing. A tremendous amateur background. Is a very talented and gifted boxer as well. So he can as well outbox Deontay Wilder and sort of like slow the fight down a bit and try to wait for the opening and then land his big punch on Deontay. So he has to take technical capabilities as well to beat Deontay Wilder. But so far, we've got to hand it to the king of the heavyweight division, Deontay Wilder. 41 fights, 41 wins, 40 of them by knockout. I mean, he doesn't let the judges decide fights, Deontay Wilder. He lets his hands decide, his punches decide fights.
When you have a guy like that, like Wilder, who is technically not a great boxer by any stretch, he's just a really bad dude. I mean, what's the best way to approach a guy like that? Because there's part of it that says if you get into a brawl, you've at least got a coin flip chance. But we've seen a lot of guys try to technically box Deontay Wilder. And being patient doesn't work because he doesn't let you be patient. He comes at you. I mean, what's the right way to approach a guy like Deontay Wilder? Because we haven't seen one in a while.
You have to get his respect. And the only way you're going to get his respect if you take some risks. And take some risks meaning you go in there and you try to hurt him. And that is what Luis Ortiz did. And I think that's why from all those 41 opponents who ever fought Deontay Wilder, he was the one who had the biggest success and almost had him out cold on his feet. I actually thought the fight was over, to tell you the truth. I think that's the only way, because if you're going to try to be technical and you're not going to go for the kill, so to speak, with Wilder, he is eventually in those 12 rounds going to catch you. I mean, he catches you, it's lights out, as we know. So you've got to go in there and get his respect.
Obviously this is the fight for this weekend, Wilder Ortiz 2. It's going to be a great fight. And Ortiz, in my mind, has given Wilder probably the second toughest fight of his career. Obviously, the draw with Fury is the fight that everybody wants to see again. Are we on a trajectory towards maybe seeing that fight again? Is this just part of the, you know how boxing works, that you've got to have fights to lead up to fights. Is that what this is, presumably?
Well, I think 2019 was actually a great year for boxing because we've seen some of those great matchups. And
Especially at
heavyweight, but at welterweights as well. Manny Pacquiao against the undefeated Keith Thurman, Spence against Porter. We've seen some really great matchups of evenly matched fights. And I think if you're a fight fan, a sports fan, you really had a great 2019. And I think that will continue into the new year in all the divisions, including the heavyweights. I'd love to see a rematch again with Fury and Wilder. I mean, Fury, it's interesting, what I just said before. Fury is technically a very good fighter, but he's not a very big puncher. So I don't think that Fury can really hurt Deontay Wilder. But I know that Deontay can hurt Fury.
But Fury was the first guy to really frustrate Deontay.
Exactly, that's the thing, And if you fight that kind of fight, I think eventually, and we saw that eventually happening in that first fight, eventually the opening is going to be there. And Deontay is going to find that chin, and he's going to knock you down or knock you out. In the case of Fury, he knocked him down. I thought he knocked him out. I was sitting right there, first row. I mean, the guy fell right in front of me. It was like a mini earthquake, it was a scary moment. And I cannot believe that he actually found a way to get up Fury. I couldn't believe it. I mean, the ref was a bit generous with the count. It took him a while to start with the one, the two, but nevertheless, it was a hell of a fight, and we as fight fans, we want to see the rematch, and I hope we're going to see it, and I think we will.
You were quoted a little while back of saying that the welterweight division doesn't really need Terrence Crawford because there's so many great fights to make, which in a way there were at the time, but now with Errol Spence sort of in limbo or at least out of the picture for a little while after his accident, and he and Terrence Crawford, let's face it, those two guys are the guys that most people are looking at as the top-tier guys now. Is it enough to put
Terrence's name back into the discussion to make these great fights?
I think there's no question that Terrence is one of the best welterweights. And, you know, unfortunately, and as long as we see great fights, I don't really have a problem with it. But you sort of like have three platforms in boxing today. You have The Zone with Matchroom. You have ESPN with Top Rank. And then you have PBC with Fox and with Showtime. And as long as these platforms deliver great fights, we as fight fans, we can't really complain much. And as long as we're going to see great matchups in the welterweight division, whether they include Terrence Crawford or not, you know, I have nothing to complain. And that's what I meant, is we don't really need, I mean, PPC at this point doesn't really need Crawford, because PPC can, within their stable, which includes like 70 or 80% of the top 10 ranked welterweights, they can mix and match and make these great fights. And I feel bad for Terrence Crawford that he's sort of like the odd man looking in. But, you know, such is life. I mean, that's what happens sometimes. I do believe that eventually Terrence Crawford will fit into that puzzle. And that fight, whoever it's going to be, the king, I mean, now it's like Errol Spence, but there's still Manny Pacquiao. I mean, I would love to see a Manny Pacquiao. If you ask a fight fan, what do you rather see, Crawford against Spence or Spence against Manny Pacquiao? I bet you more people going to say Spence against Manny Pacquiao. I'd love to see that fight. I'd love to see if the veteran and the youngster, who is on a fast rise, many people say now pound for pound, we're talking about Errol Spence, one of the best, if not the best in the world, can he handle Pacquiao? Or is Pacquiao still too much, like he was too much for Keith Thurman? I mean, there are so many great fights at 47. Or would I like to see Manny Pacquiao against Mikey Garcia, for example? Or the Garcia versus the Garcia, Danny against Mikey Garcia. A great fight to be made. And I think we're going to see all of these fights. And if in the end of the day, when all these fights happen, Errol Spence is going to be the last man standing. And on the other side, you're going to have Crawford as the last man standing. Do I believe at such a time we're going to see that fight as a big mega pay-per-view? Yes.
Could be the...
Because why do I say that? Why am I, like, overly optimistic? No, because I think, you know, if we're going to see, and I believe we will, if Deontay wins, and we're going to see a Fury-Deontay fight, which is going to be a massive pay-per-view. I mean, it could set records. Heavyweight division, two very colorful, outspoken personalities. First fight was a hell of a fight. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's going to be a big pay-per-view. And Fury is with the ESPN platform, and Deontay is with the PBC platform. Well, Crawford is with the ESPN platform, and Spence is with the PBC platform. So if they can find sort of like a way to work together for a Wilder Fury fight, because it is the biggest fight in the sport that can be made, then I'm sure if at the time, when the time is right, Crawford and Spence is the biggest fight to be made, that fight will be made as well.
Do you feel like there's more cooperation like that now? That's why we're seeing better fights, because it was a few years ago you'd have certain guys that there's no way we're ever going to see them fight. Do you feel like there's more cooperations because there's certainly more platforms, and I think it's been great for boxing to get into some of these other platforms, but in terms of making fights, do you feel like it's more cooperation, or is it still the same old thing in your mind?
Well, I think if a fight is not just a fight but is a mega event, then I think there is more cooperation. And I think the cooperation is not necessarily only the promoter's willingness to work together. I think a lot of it has to do as well with the networks, that they exercise their power and raise their voice and say, hey guys, come on, got to find a way, we've got to get this fight or that fight done. So I think the networks are much more involved, forcing the hand of the promoters. And Fox is doing a great job, like promoting the sport. It's great to have one of the networks, big networks, involved. ESPN is doing a great job, and then you have The Zone, you know, so which has a big financial commitment to the sport. So I really, as I said before, 2019, it was a big success, you know, for the sport of boxing, and for us as fight fans, and for the fighters. I think the fighters made this year more money than they ever made.
Well, Richard, I appreciate the time. One of these days I want to find out what possessed you to leave banking and get into boxing. Because there's got to be a great story behind that.
Well, there's more money.
Yeah, I was going to say. I got an easy answer for you, bro. Got an easy answer for you.
But we can certainly talk another time about the the thought process from leaving banking and go to the box to boxing. I can tell you that much. My parents weren't very, very thrilled about it. They thought I was nuts.
I probably think you're a pretty smart guy now.
Yeah, and you were a big noise in the banking world too. So yeah, let's we'll save that for next time. But appreciate the time and great insight, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Excellent. I love Houston, and you guys are great. Great fight town, a great town, and go Dynamo.
There you go. All right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Take me to your
love. May I have everyone's attention?
You're listening to The Blitz.
Rock and roll, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Las Vegas, for Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, live from the MGM Grand, and there's a lot more people in here now, A.J. I guess,
It's filling back in.
I guess the weigh-ins were... Everybody's coming in after the weigh-ins.
And apparently Sean Porter was supposed to join our show but decided he's only going to do Booker T's show. So if you want to hear from Sean Porter, I guess you can stick around and hear Booker T and Brad Gilmore on the Hall of Fame tonight. But, you know, it could have been better. That's all I'm saying.
That's okay. The people love Booker.
That's right.
He's a big star everywhere.
Of course.
But, yeah, they'll be on at 9 tonight and broadcasting live. Late Hits, Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock at 7, and Drink of Ages with John Denman at 11 tonight. So there is your lineup for the evening. So let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we go to Port St. Lucie, Florida, of course, I've long said that the worst drivers in the world are in Houston.
In the conversation, certainly.
Yeah. Well, maybe this guy should be driving here because he'd probably be better than a lot of people. A dog accidentally put the car in reverse, and apparently for an hour it spun in reverse around a cul-de-sac.
Don't you have to put a car? Don't you have to push the brake to put a car into gear these days?
I think it depends on the car. I think most of them you do. Like I know the wife's car, you have to do that to get it out of park.
Yeah,
but maybe as an older car,
that's a pretty good safety thing. I mean, just in case dogs try to drive in the future.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not so worried about the dog uprising like I am
the ape,
the apes or
the
aliens.
Robots.
Oh yeah, robots. But, you know, maybe the dogs are smarter than we think. Maybe he's already looking ahead to when the robots run and everything. The dogs will partner up with him.
Right.
I mean, I know they're man's best friend technically.
But are they?
Yeah. Are they really? Are they just telling us that? So, yeah, but apparently he was driving around. The driver got out of the car. And while he did, and I could see this happening because my dog would freak out if I got out of the car. But knocked the thing into reverse and took the police a while to stop the dog, but nobody got hurt.
Guess better than putting it in drive, right?
Yeah. And neighbor said, I saw the dog jump out of the car wagging his tail. I was like, okay, good driving.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Did it smash into anything?
Did not.
Because I saw there was like some debris it looked like it was in a cul-de-sac or something. Like, it looked like there was some debris, like it had hit something.
I'm sure it did. They don't mention that.
Maybe just ran over a trash can or something.
I think they want this to be a cute story, not a the dangers of dogs driving.
Yeah. Don't let your dogs drive, though. We all know that.
Yeah, that's a negative. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Woof, woof. All right. So we're trying to figure out whether or not we're going to have another guest here. But Richard Schaefer, who we had earlier, who dropped the Go Dynamo, was on the board of the Dynamo. So, and I know he's been on Glenn's show before, I'm pretty sure.
Richard?
Yeah. Yeah. But
he's become very famous.
Isn't everybody around here is pretty famous, AJ? So are we getting another guest? Or
I don't think so.
Okay.
Fine. Because I said we've got RJ coming on next, so we wouldn't have an open spot until 4:30. So she said that'd be probably too late. So we're just going to roll with the two of us. If that's all right with you. Unless you're tired of me. Oh, that's
yeah.
True.
So we do have a gap there.
Tracy.
So we'll see if we can get this done, because we do have a segment before RJ comes on now, because RJ does 6:15, basically to 6:45. So we'll see about that. I had my own dog story from today that I don't think I'm going to tell on air, but the dogs apparently had a very bad experience while I was gone, in that one dog tried to attack the little dog, and my other dog came to her defense. And I'm still waiting on the details on that, but it did not sound good. All right, 713-780-3776. I wish my dogs had driven cars. That would have been cooler. If you want to text the show, so what's the deal here?
I don't want to say, because I don't know if we're going to have them, but I think we are going to have a guest.
Okay,
so
cool. Well,
I'll let you know when we lock it in.
All right. Well, we don't want to lie to the people and make a promise that we can't keep. But and it's not like these are the women in our lives.
Right.
Yeah. These are the listeners. We gotta be honest with them. I guess from a college football perspective, we went over everything yesterday with Brad. So if you're interested in the college football plays, that'll be on that podcast. Even though the show was earlier, we did get Brad on. And then we'll do NFL again with RJ and, you know, presumably Fezzik and maybe Brad too. So you'll be able to get your bet on there. So that'll pretty much be it, because if we get our guests, that'll be first segment, and then RJ it pretty much does too, and then we have stupid stuff, and that's it. And all right, so now I'm being told go to break early.
All right.
So we're going to go to break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
So you're a tough guy, like you're really rough guy, just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type, make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy. Duh.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.